Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American. Sunday, February 26th. Scholarship Name for Vasquez by staff writer. A scholarship for students who want to become counselors has been created in the name of the late Adele Vasquez. A longtime counselor and educator, Vasquez spent most of her years with Ettrick County ISD in a variety of capacities. Emily Paxton, Student Behavior Support Coordinator at MISD, said applicants will be taken until March 3rd. They can be sent to txpbca@gmail.com. The scholarship will be presented at the Permian Basin Council Associating Meeting, May 18th. Paxton said they decided as a committee to offer one scholarship in the amount of $1,500. It will be $500 for each semester and $500 for expenses, books, and clinicals. The scholarship is open to the 17 county areas and organizational services. Paxton said they are seeking a postgraduate student who is pursuing a degree in some form of counseling, whether it's school-based or private practice. This is an effort to draw more people into counseling professions since there is such a demand for mental health and support people. Amanda Lopez, president-elect of the Permian Basin Counseling Association, remembered Vasquez fondly. Lopez was coordinator of social-emotional learning at ECISD and was a critical counselor before that. Both Lopez and Patton said Vasquez always mentored aspiring counselors, teachers, and students. In the past, we did award a scholarship, Patton said. In fact, our current PBCA student, Kirsha Samuelsel, was one of the recipients of that. After the COVID year, it kind of dropped off because the group wasn't meeting in person. Then last year, ECISD counselor Cynthia Hermosilla said she would like to start the scholarship program again. It was decided to name the scholarship for someone who meant a lot to the program, and a warning, it is someone who could make everyone fall in Vasquez's spirit of inclusion. Patton said choosing a recipient was going to be tough. She said there are about 20 applicants and they all look good. Lopez said that Vasquez passed away last January. They all felt her absence and they were conservatives about what could be done to keep her spirit alive and continue her legacy. She made such a big impact, not just on counseling but education as well. We know how supportive she was with so many counselors, teachers, students, everyone. When someone that magnitude passes away, we want to acknowledge them and keep their spirit going. So different counselors had conversations about it last year. A few different people thought a scholarship sounded like a great way to go because she loved education. She loved counseling. This will help other people follow in her footsteps. So in the fall, when the Permian Basin Counseling Association got back together, we said, "Let's really do this," Lopez said. She added that the reason there is SAS program, SAS counselors or mental health counselors. In 1988, Vasquez helped write the grant to create the SAS counselors, full-time mental health counselors in the district. That department wouldn't exist without her, and now, 30-plus years later, it's still there. Those kinds of impacts she made are just as huge that it's hard to qualify all of the amazing things she did for other people. It was never self-serving or let me get my name out there. It was never like that. It was how to help kids, how to help teachers, counselors, Lopez said. Lopez said Vasquez knew all her life. When Lopez first got out of graduate school, Lopez was her licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and served in the capacity of others as well. I got to know her in that capacity because she's such a nice, supportive person. She was always my cheerleader behind the scenes. I didn't even know about, Lopez said. She added that Vasquez would nominate her for things. Lopez said Vasquez would notice things about people and call their attention to it. She said she got to experience Vasquez's legacy firsthand and her unending kindness. Just one of the nicest people ever. She was just everything you would want in a supervisor. Humble and kind. Celebrating 25 Years, Nursing Dean, Fulfilling Lifelong Dream by Ruth Campbell. Growing up, Minerva Gonzalez decided to go into health care so she could take care of patients just like her mom. My mother was a home health aide, and she would tell me all the time about the wonderful things she did for participants, and I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. So I wanted to help people like my mom did, Gonzalez said. Gonzalez is the Interim Nursing Program Director, Associate Dean for the College of Health Sciences and Human Performances, and Associate Professor of Nursing. Gonzalez is now celebrating her 25th year in nursing. She earned a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Texas Tech University and a Master of Science in Nursing from San Angelo University. She also earned a Doctorate of Nursing Practice, Healthcare System Leadership from Chamberlain College of Nursing. A native of Brownwood, Gonzalez went to college right out of high school at age 17. She got her nursing license in 1998, which she called one of the most exciting times ever. Because Gonzalez was always wanted to be a teacher, she went for a doctorate because that's what universities generally demand. Most recently, she worked at Medical Center Hospital for 18 years before coming on board full-time in 2016 at UTPB. Gonzalez was Director of Nursing Education at Medical Center Hospital. Before that, she was clinical liaison at Rehab Care, a private company. The company was sold, which she said was perfect timing because the position at MCH was open. "They took a chance on me," Gonzalez said. "The transition from being a full-time nurse to academia was difficult." It's two very difficult words. In a hospital, their setting, it's go, 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 go. You're 100 times an hour. You get to academic and it's not quite as fast. You have a lot more time for planning because it shifted. Now you're looking curriculum in different pieces, not so much the day-to-day that's occurring in the hospital. I found that very difficult because for 18 years, all I knew was go, 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 she said. There have been people that have gone back to practicing because they missed the pace and the patient care. Probably the biggest change she has seen are the technological advances. "I'm really going to date myself here, but we used to chart on an open pen and paper. Everything was on paper. That's just the documentation side," Gonzalez said. In healthcare in general, the greatest thing she's seen evolve is the teamwork between the different disciplines. Previously, people would guard their turf. "I think there's just more of a mutual respect. When I first started, the doctor told us what to do, and that was that. Now what you find more is ongoing conversations to ensure patient safety. It may have been that I started in a smaller hospital, but as I've progressed and moved from one organization to another, it's just gotten better each time," she said. "Doctors now listen to the whole disciplinary team more than they used to. That's what they're really looking for in everybody, holes and expertise. So you've got pharmacists involved, physical therapists involved, nursing and respiratory. I think collectively they listen to the team," Gonzalez said. UTB has seen a huge increase in applicants. They have 144 clinical students. The goal is to continue to grow so they can help their community partner get the nurses they need. "We're always assessing each semester. We assess to make sure that we will be good nurses. We are as faculty as the director. We have to sign off on them with the Board of Nursing. If they aren't, we're not going to sign off on them. But that means that they have to make sure we're creating the environment for them to learn to be good nurses. So it's a huge responsibility," Gonzalez said. The program has full-time faculty, part-time and clinical adjuncts. He serves as instructors in the clinical setting, and they are generally still practicing. When we ask our students, or even our potential students, "Why do you want to be a nurse?" they generally want to know. "But I think there's some, on some levels, the comfort of knowing that we'll always have a job. I think we saw that with COVID when so many were either out of work or couldn't work. Healthcare is nonstop, so you'll always have a job," Gonzalez said. "Part of being in the medical profession also means staying up to date. We have a saying that a lifelong learning, continuing education is staying up to date. It's ensuring to don't get stagnant, and that's the healthcare in general. The benefit for patients is that they're staying on top of ever-evolving world of healthcare," Gonzalez said. To maintain their nursing license, they have to have 20 continuing education hours every 2 years. Asked if she has applied to the Dean of Nursing position, Gonzalez said she hadn't. "I really like being in my role, and I guess I'm happy where I am," she added. Gonzalez, who has two daughters, is married to Ricky George. Obituaries. Palm Desert, California. Cecilia Gelman Glass. Beloved wife, mother, sister, and friend. Passed away in Palm Desert, California on February 19th after a violent fight with many health challenges over the last few years. Cecilia, known to all as PC, was born Cecilia Stahl Gelman and Saul Morse Gelman in Gonzales, Texas on August 11th, 1945. Growing up in Austin, Texas, she was surrounded by family and friends, active in Congregation Beth Israel and BBYO, and was an accomplished pianist. She graduated from McAllen High School. In 1966, PC earned a Bachelor of Business Administration from the University of Texas at Austin. While at UT, she was active in Sigma Delta Tau sorority, serving as president of the chapter and long-loved devotee. As a young professional, PC moved to New York to work for Gimbel's, becoming the youngest buyer at the national department store chain at the time, shortly after Tetichi Gottinger, who later known as Tetichi's recruiter, her as the first woman hired to the position of merchandise manager at their flagship store in Dallas. In 1974, she married Robert Bob Glast and moved to Odessa, Texas, where they raised their two daughters, Rachel and Deborah. PC was an esteemed member of the Odessa community, where she was an entrepreneur, established her own successful small business, Pixies, specializing in party planning, invitation, and life cycle events. As an integral part of people's lives, she planned special celebrations. She was an avid volunteer and dedicated friends. Her embroidery and needlepoint creations are still prized possessions of many. As an active member of the Jewish community, she served as president of Temple Bethel in Odessa, not once but twice. In addition, she served as sisterhood president multiple times and was a lifetime member of Odessa. In 1997, family and friends gathered when she was honored for her dedication to the State of Israel and commitment to the Israel Bonds Program. PC was a true Mahjong maven, playing weekly games, teaching classes, and even coordinating a community-wide tournament. In addition, she enjoyed all kinds of card games, including Duplicate Bridge, Canasta, Gin Rummy. Bob says he still owes her $1 trillion from her ongoing gin game. More than anything, PC was devoted to her family. Her husband and daughters were the light of her life. She adored her nephews, nieces, and extended family and was a lifelong friend to many. Nothing gave her more pleasure than celebrating holidays with her family, bringing people together as a consummate hostess. After moving to Palm Desert, California, she became involved with Temple Sinai, playing Mahjong with new friends and enjoyed attending art fairs and live performances. Graveside services were held Friday, February 24th at 10 a.m. in Temple Bethel Shalom section of the Austin Memorial Park Cemetery, 2800 Hancock Drive, Austin, Texas. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Texas Freedom Network Education Fund, Temple Beth Shalom, or American Liver Foundation. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared to her tribute page at austinnaturalfuneral.com. Aurora, Ohio. Alan Pearson Milleran passed away peacefully on February 20th in Aurora, Ohio. He was born in Highland Park, Illinois on September 14, 1937, as the son of Anna and Wilford Milleran. Al was a passionate educator of counseling and psychological working as a university professor, guest lecturer, and workshop leader for most of his professional career. He is a graduate of Bradley University and held a doctorate degree from University of Illinois, Champaign. He was a school counselor and teacher and a professor of counseling at Illinois State University, the University of Texas Permian Basin, and Governor State University. He was a workshop presenter and has authored several books and numerous articles on Alderan psychology and related topics. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests contributions to charities. Death notices. Midland. Linda Elliott, 78, died Monday, February 20th. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery, Crematory and Funeral Home of Midland. Odessa. Helen Fields Oren, 86, of Odessa, died Thursday, February 23rd. Graveside services are scheduled for 1 p.m. February 28th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Clyde Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, February 27th. Council tackles busy agenda Tuesday. The story was written by Kim Smith. Water, roads, and T2 professional services are among the top issues listed on the Odessa City Council's work session and regular meeting agendas for Tuesday. Troy Hill from Agua, Texas, is scheduled to give a presentation to the council during the 3 p.m. work session. According to a PowerPoint presentation provided to the city by Aqua, the company has formed partnerships with municipalities back east that have allowed them to creatively address compliance, fiscal, and community needs. In Whitehaven, Pennsylvania, Aqua bought 500 water and 500 sewer connections in 2002 for $2.7 million, and as a result, the borough was able to pay off a loan and spur economic development. Aqua spent $18.9 million in improvements. City council members have long argued something needs to be done to address the city's aging water infrastructure. Last June, a major water line break at 42nd and San Jacinto Streets that left Odessans and Ector County residents without drinkable water for roughly a week cost the city nearly $607,000. The city spent just under $511,000 in equipment costs and more than $32,000 in overtime pay. Many of the city's pipes and valves are more than 50 years old, and the city has been systematically replacing the older iron-based pipes with pipes made of PVC, fiberglass, or high-density polyethylene, but it's supposed to take years to replace all of them. Back in 2021, the council also voted 4-3 to issue certificates of obligation to pay for a $95 million rehab project at the city's water treatment plant. The council is also expected to hear from Utilities Director Tom Kerr during the work session. He will be discussing future roadway projects and how he and his staff think they should be prioritized. In addition, the council will discuss the possibility of launching a structural engineering study of the pedestrian bridge at the Odessa Police Department. During the regularly scheduled meeting at 6 p.m., the council will vote on a seal coat project of nearly $2 million and pavement rejuvenation projects of nearly $1.3 million. Mike Wilson of T2 Professional Services is also expected to give a presentation on city manager benchmarks. A majority of the city council approved a $338,000 contract with T2 on December 14th, within hours of city manager Michael Marrero and city attorney Natasha Brooks being fired. Mayor Javier Hoven has said T2 will help the city find Marrero's replacement, but will also analyze all city positions to ensure they are all needed and or filled by the most qualified personnel. The contract itself states T2 will provide professional services for the benefit of the interim city manager, including advising and consulting, organizational analysis and training on leadership transition management. The contract also states T2 will conduct diagnostic meetings with city leadership and internal and external stakeholders, create a benchmark committee, and guide the council in public relations. In addition, the contract states T2 will provide interim city manager Agapito Bernal training in leadership processes and tools, recruitment and selection, and group development and engagement. Later, the company will serve as a liaison with vendors hired to complete specific tasks. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Monday Coffee for Women. Tenacious Woman Ministries has scheduled coffee chats for women from 9 a.m. to noon Mondays through May 29th. Visit tinyurl.com/3T8ENUJZ. Swallowmate Party. Crunch Fitness, 2008 East 42nd Street, has scheduled a Swallowmate Party from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. There will be local vendors, free workouts, contests, prizes, and more. Visit tinyurl.com/PSA6Y5. Shrimpfest 2023. The Ellen Noel Art Museum has scheduled the annual Shrimpfest at 7 p.m. today at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn G, 4201 Andrews Highway. There will be all-you-can-eat shrimp and an auction. General admission is $50 and includes one drink ticket. Visit tinyurl.com/BDFYK698. Volunteers needed. Medical Center Hospital is in need of volunteers for its volunteer services. Applications may be found online. To apply or for more information, call 432-640-2249, email jjones1@echd.org, or visit tinyurl.com/YFJJMYHC. Odessa Regional Medical Center is in need of auxiliary volunteers. The auxiliary is open to men and women of all ages. For online registration form, visit odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/volunteer. For more information, call 432-582-8090 or email rebecca.morales@steward.org. Meals on Wheels of Odessa needs volunteers. Volunteer opportunities, drivers, kitchen staff, and Mud Bug fundraising. To sign up or for more information, call 432-333-6451, email volunteer@mowodessa.com, or visit mowodessa.com. The West Texas Food Bank is in need of volunteers. Volunteer activities include assembling pantry boxes, assembling senior boxes, assembling food to kids' backpacks, sorting and processing donated items, sorting and processing produce, distributing food in our drive-through pantry, distributing food on a mobile outreach, and helping the garden team in the XTO Energy Innovative Gardens. All volunteers, regardless of age, are required to register through the WTF Volunteer Hub. Children must be 16 years of age or older to volunteer on their own. Children under the age of 16 must be supervised by a parent or a guardian. For more information or registering a group, email volunteer coordinator Cinda Garcia at cgarcia@wtxfoodbank.org. To register, visit tinyurl.com/MUKXDVYF.
Dear Abby, husband keeps whole world updated on spouse's health. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been married more than 30 years. In the last five, I have so many doctor appointments, medical procedures, and surgeries that I have lost count. My husband thinks it is perfectly fine to tell family, friends, and strangers about my medical conditions, tests, and surgeries. I asked a friend if she would pray for an upcoming test. She said she would, and would continue to pray until I told her otherwise. I had the test. The results were great. My husband told my friend the results without first asking me if it was okay. I realized it when she said, "Your husband told me the good news." Now, Abby, I understand it was good news, but in my opinion, it was my medical information, and I had planned to tell her the next time I saw her, which was 3 days after the test. My husband thinks it's no big deal to tell people about what's going on with me medically. I disagree. I believe it's personal and nobody's business. I have asked, even begged, my husband not to tell anyone about my medical stuff. I went so far as to go to two appointments without telling him. He was furious that I didn't let him come along. I told him why he was left behind, but he still didn't get it, or maybe didn't think my feelings were important. Am I being too sensitive, or should he keep his mouth shut? Violated in Arkansas. Dear Violated, your oversharing husband should respect your feelings and keep his mouth shut. You shouldn't have had to beg him not to discuss your medical information with others. Would he be equally open to telling folks about the state of his prostate, his Viagra consumption, his colonoscopy preps? Perhaps he will get the message if you start giving him a dose of his own medicine. It's worth a try. Dear Abby, I decided to get my daughter a birthday gift that would help her relax. She's a nurse. Because she worked so hard through the pandemic, I thought a massage would be a good idea. I enlisted the help of her daughter and boyfriend to help pay for it. I work part-time and couldn't manage it without their help. I chose the business after reviewing it online and fronted the money to get a certificate in time for her birthday. More than a month has gone by, and I still haven't received their share of the money from my granddaughter or her boyfriend. In fact, I'm now being ghosted after texting request for what's owed. I'm not sure what to do. I'm considering dropping it so my daughter doesn't find out, but I'm angry about getting hurt in this way. Both parties work. I don't understand the treatment I'm getting. Please advise. Disappointed in Illinois. Dear Disappointed, you may have to chalk this up to a life lesson. You have learned that your granddaughter and her boyfriend, who I assume are self-supporting, can't be trusted to honor their word. I do not think you should tattle to your daughter about this. The distress it could cause would be counterproductive to the intent of your gift.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.